Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Do we have some COVID news, for instance, to talk about tonight? Because, you know, there's always bad news in that area with mask mandates coming back down. And I was thinking, oh, we should talk about how Keene, New Hampshire might be putting a mask mandate back into place. And
I'm not going to wear a mask, but...
I'm not either, and we didn't during their first mask mandate. In fact, I sued along with Aria DiMezzo, our co-host, and the lady that owns the local pho noodle place here in town called Pho Keene Great. We sued the federal, or not the federal government, we sued the state government and we sued the city of Keene over their mask mandates, which we argued was, you know, illegal, unconstitutional. And it took about a year. It was literally like 11 months before the court finally made a ruling on that case, and they threw it out of court. The judge basically said that, oh, well, because you weren't arrested, you never received a ticket for not wearing a mask, so therefore you have no standing.
Well, also, they said that you didn't receive any, like, damages, which isn't true, especially for malaise. She could claim that less people were going out to eat because
of
the
fear-mongering. She had to close two of her businesses.
Yeah.
She had to close two restaurants over the COVID restrictions. So... we unfortunately didn't have the best attorney in that case, and while he said that we could appeal it, he never actually did anything about appealing it, and some have theorized that our attorney in that case, his whole job was to throw the case. Ringe Rep. Santa Anastasio among sponsors of New Hampshire secession proposal. And this made me think, ooh, maybe the secession bill... which is a constitutional amendment proposed here in New Hampshire that could go on the ballot as soon as 2022, in November of 2022. And I thought, well, maybe the bill's got a bill number. And I looked through the article, and they don't reference the bill number there. And so I went to the New Hampshire State's website, and nope, still no bill number. So I was actually surprised that the mainstream media is writing a story, because this may be the first kind of feature story about the New Hampshire secession proposal. That it's certainly the only one I've seen.
I wonder if just didn't know about it before.
Great question. Here's the story from Rick Green at the Keene Sentinel, perhaps the most startling proposal at the New Hampshire legislature. And that's a big claim, by the way. To say that it's the most startling proposal, because there are over 800 pieces of legislation that are proposed in New Hampshire on a regular basis every session.
Yeah, there's a bill about turning the definition of child abuse, changing it to have to include gender reconfirmation surgery.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of topics that one would consider to be startling, but for them to say that this is the most, or perhaps the most startling proposal, I'll take that as a compliment.
Why do women go around ruining men's lives?
Well, first of all, it was Halloween, so orange is a good Halloween color. But actually,
it was actually part of my way to ruin Ian's life.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't it obvious? Why does any man color their hair orange? They've got a girlfriend, right?
I actually told my old girlfriend that if she would dye her hair, I would dye mine, and she never got around to it. So Bonnie just convinced me to go ahead and do it for Halloween. And actually, it was originally like orange, green, and pink.
Yeah, and yellow.
It was like a multicolor kind of situation. And then once that faded a little bit, we went ahead and just did all orange because I like orange. Anyway, what about your question with women ruining people's lives? What's happening, Dave? Because it's not like you've had a girlfriend in 10 years, right?
Back in 2013, this girl, Katie Sarvis, when I was still living over
almost
the BWS
10 years.
Back in 2013.
Okay.
Right? And I was on Facebook, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I can't swear because of the FCC, blah, blah, blah. So... She hit me up on Facebook, invited me over, we ended up doing it, and then she kicks me out saying, oh, my boyfriend might be home soon.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
I just want to clarify, you're saying that you need to have a woman in your bed every single night naked in order for you not to kill yourself, or will you not kill yourself if you just have sex one time before you're 50?
I want a woman in my bed every single night. If I don't get lit, because nobody wants to bang a 50-year-old.
Okay. I mean, have you thought about lowering your standard maybe a little bit?
Oh, I think it has been. I have a whole list of things he might need to do in order to possibly get laid again. And the first thing, the number one where you're going to start, Dave, is you need to go get a job if you still don't have a job since Uber Eats fired you.
I don't want a job. Why wake up in the morning and go to work and deal with some boss that you don't freaking like?
Okay, hold on. Well, who's going to pay the bills?
Well, Uber Eats, you don't have to deal with a boss that you don't like. Do something else like Uber Eats, and this time just don't get fired.
I used to do Instacart way back in January, and they fired me all because of a selfie issue.
It wasn't a selfie issue. You wouldn't take a selfie. You took a picture of your driver's license when it asked you to take a selfie, even though that's supposed to prove who you are, so they need a physical picture of you.
So he wouldn't even verify himself to the company in that
case. He said, why does it matter? It's a picture of me.
In 2021, young women are increasingly attracted to older men. And I do have a theory, though.
Hold on, before you go into your theory, you think that's somehow different now than it was in the past? I mean, it's not hard to find example after example of older men with younger women throughout, you know, history.
And they usually have money.
Right. Well, there's that. But
well, it's even more commonplace now. Actually.
Why?
It's been increasing.
I would say I agree. Because, well, most people I know.
Well, I think 50-year-olds are also starting to take care of themselves more and more than they used to.
Hmm. I mean, there is Viagra.
Well, look, I don't know how old Dave from New York is.
He's 47.
First recommendation, he's not. No, wait, 27.
No, 47.
47.
Oh, 40. Oh,
yeah, and okay. He said he's going to kill himself by throwing himself off a bridge if he... Well, I guess I presume that means he's going to kill himself. Maybe he's going to throw himself off a very
short
low bridge.
But he suggested
he was going to kill himself by age of 50 if he doesn't have a woman in his bed naked every night.
Yeah, well, that was, first of all, he was just saying that for attention. He's not actually going to do that because he's just trying to get a pity lay out of some woman out there.
Oh, God.
Well, it doesn't seem to be working for him, though.
Maybe he should cripple himself. There are women that are into cripples.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Let me get back into this story here. This about the independence bill that is still awaiting a bill number. We're probably going to get that within the next few weeks. I imagine it'll come out before Christmas time because in 2022 they start having hearings.
I felt like we had a number already.
No,
was there a pre-number?
Yeah, it's like a pre-number.
Okay.
It's a really long one that's like 8 digits long or something like that. And the one that's going to come is probably going to be 1 or 2 digits.
Gotcha.
Right now, but surprisingly, the mainstream media has picked up on the story, and the Sentinel, which is the Keene, New Hampshire newspaper, that's where we do this show from, has a story written by, Rick Green on Sentinel staff. So he cites nhexit.us and the videos that we've been doing on a weekly basis, where we've been just kind of like, you know, figuring out what to do. It was in the early days back in August, I think, when we started this. And that was when we were kind of hammering out what the language of the proposal was going to be. And he quotes Mike Sylvia, who's the main person, the main state representative. He's a great freedom-loving guy. He's an A-plus rated rep by the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. He's a free stater. He's a longtime supporter, actually, of this show, Free Talk Live. Great guy. Love Mike Sylvia. Anyway, he's the guy that sponsored this bill. And he said in one of the video chats from August 12th, quote, "This is not my feeling, but you know the atmosphere out there is that those dirty Mexicans or Guatemalans or whatever are coming across the border, bringing in COVID with them." What Mike is saying here is that there are people on the right, and he is a registered Republican. He's a libertarian who's working within the Republican Party. So
yeah, he said something about the non-aggression principle whenever he's out.
He's very principled. He's very principled, but he also knows who his audience is. And the reality is there's a lot of people on the right who are afraid of immigrants. Now, that's wrong to be afraid of immigrants. That has to do with the federal government and government's, you know,
propaganda,
making immigrants look like they're somehow taking people's jobs or whatever. Like, there's a lot of negativity about immigration, and a lot of it's just total BS.
Yeah.
But the reality is they still believe that they're taking our jobs, and they still believe that immigrants are somehow a danger, they're bringing diseases, and they have all this propaganda out there. Are they terrorists or drug dealers? And so he's just saying, look, because some people are so afraid of immigrants, they will actually come on board and support secession. And so from that perspective, at least in that one issue, there are allies.
I do understand that that was what he was saying, but even when he said that, like, during the meeting, I was in here just listening with the headphones, and I thought,
this is
going to be spun. Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking the same thing, and I mean, I get that there. So, and the thing to think about, though, is this is just a conversation about, like, okay, well, how do you approach this, right?
The only thing that is a problem with the left, I think, in independence is there's all this brainwashing in their beloved colleges and public schools that say, oh, if you secede from Washington, D.C., somehow racists will take over because, oh, that's what the Civil War was fought all about. There's even a Union soldier statue in the middle of Keene.
I mean, the racists aren't even allowed to speak anymore. I mean, how much concern do you really have to worry about that?
I think there's no concern of racism taking over if somebody leaves the Union. I don't understand how Joe Biden, a racist, being president, is stopping any racist from taking over any state they want right now. It's just that there aren't that, you know, that's not something that I think that they have the power to take over a state.
Joe's not actually racist.
I think he's a racist.
He seems kind of racist.
He said minorities don't know how to get online.
Oh, yeah.
Among other things, actually. Anyway, he said Biden is mocked in some international news broadcasts and that in some quarters, quote, the U.S. is an embarrassment. Maybe it's time, he said, to separate ourselves from it and spare ourselves the agony, unquote. Another sponsor of the legislation, Representative Peter Tarosian of Atkinson, New Hampshire, said in an interview Friday that its proponents have come in for undue criticism for a proposal that he views as more of a statement than a practical matter. As a constitutional amendment, it would require 60% in support in the House and Senate, and then, the article gets this wrong, 60% support by voters. In the last decade, New Hampshire hasn't really been outstanding in any way when it comes to independence. There's been a couple of organizations, the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence, which has done a good job over the years of just kind of trying to get the word out about independence, but, you know, that's... there hasn't been any sort of, like, legislative action in any way until now.
Yeah, you need something to actually happen, right?
Yes.
To get the ball rolling, and the
spark.
Introduction of these amendments is that spark.
It's a jump start.
Yeah, it's what's really, I mean, because if you're just talking about it, you're not really going to get that much talk. But if you're actually doing something, then all of a sudden people are talking because then it becomes a real thing.
Right.
And then
now it's a possibility.
Right.
Is it probable? Well, you know, that's up for debate.
It's got more support than I could have thought. And it's got more support than Texas had. It has more support than I think even Canada, Quebec had when they went for their independence.
Oh, really? I studied that in detail.
I believe so. I think
they get to vote on it there?
Yeah, they barely missed. They almost were successful in their independence movement. So it was a little bit.
It was on the ballot, though.
Yeah, it was on the ballot.
Which would mean they are more successful.
Twice.
That means they're more successful than we are.
Well,
because
right.
we haven't gotten it on the ballot
true,
yet.
True, but so I mean, in the terms of what the support was, just the general support. We don't know whether it's going to get on the ballot. If you actually are against this, that means you are pro going to war over it, because that's the alternative, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's either we go about this the peaceful route, the way we are, or we don't even bother with an amendment and we just go to war over it, right?
In which case, the federal government will then begin killing its own supporters because there will still be loyalists here in the in New Hampshire during a war.
Let's try to do it the peaceful route. And, you know, what comes next, you know, maybe it'll be, maybe we will fail first time around, but maybe, you know, it's like, I personally want to go through about this peacefully. So I think, even if we do fail, let's just try again, and we'll keep trying, right?
Exactly.
I think there's...
we need to build this issue to the key issue of our time, for sure.
Yeah.
Tarosian, the one guy that got to speak to them, one of the co-sponsors, said the slim Republican majority in New Hampshire's two legislative chambers is one reason the amendment's chances for passage are minimal. Although I disagree with him. As you pointed out, Chris, the Democrats say they're in favor of democracy. I mean... that's what they say
all the time.
It's in the name of their party. So if they are against voting, if they're against letting the people of New Hampshire vote on this, number one, it shows they're scared of what the people of New Hampshire are going to do. WalletHub.com, they do a study that I'd never heard of before called the Taxpayer Return on Investment Rankings. Now, it's kind of a silly name because the idea that anybody gets any sort of return from the government stealing their money is ridiculous.
An investment sounds like it's voluntary.
Yeah. It's just a terrible name for
just investing in the government. Yeah. No, that's not what anybody's ever called paying taxes.
Right.
I mean, it's also kind of weird, too, because it's a cost of doing business, maybe, but it's not necessarily... You don't necessarily expect a return on. It's kind of like if you have a company and you pay for somebody to administer your email servers, you don't have a return on that specific cost.
Yeah, what they're talking about here is not specifically that you would get some sort of money back or whatever. It's not like that.
Yeah.
What they're saying is they compared the 50 states and the size of the government compared to the amount of taxes and the quote unquote like quality of the government services based on the amount of money that's coming into them, meaning that New Hampshire is a relatively low burden as far as taxes are concerned, very low, actually.
Yep.
And they also have a fairly decent, you know, when you compare governments, right? Now, we're looking at cancer here, right?
Yeah.
So, like, which DMV is the least worst DMV
basically what they're saying. They have a name for it. They call it the New Hampshire Advantage.
Is that what the New Hampshire advantage is?
It's like lower taxes and whatnot. Right.
Once we can get the federal government gang off our backs, New Hampshire will, I think, and I think arguably it already is the freest place on the planet, but there's no study that really shows that crystal clear. But if you can extrapolate the idea that, you know, New Hampshire or that the United States is one of the freest countries generally, and New Hampshire is the number one freest state, if we're not weighed down by California, New York, federal regulations, all this, you know, crap that's currently weighing us down, we will be by and far the freest place on the planet.
You
there's
know,
no doubt.
You know, it's interesting because I was having kind of a conversation the other day with somebody who is, they're sort of your arch enemy, Ian. Anyway, but, you know, he made me think that, you know, it's not always just about the freedom, right? Like, there's other factors too. And New Hampshire is not just good on like freedom or taxes. They're good like in so many ways, like surrounding ways. Like, for example, like we're near a large population center, you know, which, you know, attracts, you know, increases salaries. And
you're talking about Boston?
Yeah, like Boston. Okay. But the point is that like there's other factors that also, you know, help to make New Hampshire a really great place. It's not a heavily populated place or too populated, so the cost of living isn't high. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you get all the benefits, like economic benefits. Like, and we're not even talking about just government, right? We're talking about just, let's just get rid of all governments, right? We would still have that, you know, that advantage, so to speak.
What if this ballot measure gets on the ballot? What if more than 2/3 of New Hampshire voters vote for it? He says, quote, the other side of the aisle has mischaracterized. Oh, sorry. Next paragraph. Tarosian said that even in the extremely unlikely event the proposal succeeds, the results might not be as earth-shattering as some believe. He compared it to Brexit, the United Kingdom's withdrawal from the European Union. He said, quote, it really didn't affect things. I know it's different, but the fear of change is worse than the actuality, unquote. And I appreciate his viewpoint on that.
I don't agree with him on that. It definitely changed the UK majorly. But
how did it change it majorly? I never hear about it.
I mean, okay, so like for example, and again, some of this is kind of hard. And one of the problems with the UK is the timing of their I want to say their independence, but the timing of Brexit, right? It happened during the pandemic, effectively. So
well, it took 4 years to get
it
through.
Did.
Like the people
did.
Voted for it like in 2016?
It did. Right. But one of the points, I guess, is that if you look at, like, you know, we have traffic issues, like everybody has issues with, you know, truck drivers and there not being enough of them. Mm-hmm. Well, it's really, really bad for the UK. And that's not entirely it's a solvable problem. But it's partially because of Brexit and them not allowing basically non-UK drivers into the country. I don't want people to move here, not necessarily immigrants or foreigners. I'm okay with that, but I don't want certain people to move here.
But just give them no incentive to move here. Give state lovers no incentive to move to New Hampshire.
Yeah, this
then
is,
you
yeah,
don't have to worry about
it. I love that idea. That's a much better idea.
Yeah, okay.
Than the closed borders.
And the Free State Project, Jeremy Kaufman has been doing their social media recently, and he's done a really good job of addressing this because this is one of the main objections is that, oh, all the Boston people are going to move in and take over and it's going to become a socialist state. It's like, no, the evidence shows the opposite is true. The evidence shows that the more we get closer towards more freedom here in New Hampshire, the less attractive New Hampshire becomes to those people, to the very people who that you're talking about that you don't want to come here. Turns out they don't want to come here. If there's a bunch of freedom people in the state house, if a bunch of freedom people are, you know, putting more liberty into place and getting rid of state programs, slashing state budgets, cutting taxes, eliminating entire bureaucracies.
What happens is the
people stay away.
Yeah, yeah. The best way to keep people out is literally to go more free. You know?
And the people who are freedom-minded, even just the slightest bit in a place like Massachusetts, they might hear about New Hampshire and think, oh, Massachusetts is less where I want to be and New Hampshire is more where I want to be. Yeah, they may be coming from Massachusetts, but they're liberty-minded.
This is the thing that I always bring up whenever normally you're hearing this out of Texas, you know, secession from the Union. But this is the thing that nobody takes into account. So let's take New Hampshire, for example. 32% in 2021, 32% of New Hampshire's budget came from federal funds, $2.1 billion.
Okay.
That money goes away when they secede. Okay.
No, it doesn't.
It does. It's
no, the money stays in New Hampshire.
We actually pay more money to the feds than we get back. So if we no longer pay the feds, then we'll have more money.
That
in
money
New
stays in the
just
pot.
Just won't have to go through the change of hands.
I mean, we'd have to increase state taxes to make up for some of the losses, but it will be at a lesser rate because there is more efficiency within the state than there is, you know, within the federal government.
Okay. Then the source that I read must have been incorrect. So
well, no, they just the source you read just, you know, was biased.
Giving a half truth.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so let's forget that. Every military base in the state shuts down, and all those soldiers are redeployed. So Portsmouth goes away.
Portsmouth, the city, doesn't go away just because a military base goes away.
Portsmouth, the city doesn't go away, but the naval base in Portsmouth goes away.
Okay.
And what's wrong with that?
Jobs at that naval base, so that's wrong.
Okay, new jobs will take over the void.
Right. The problem with your logic is that you assume that the state won't implement its own military.
As I understand it, the state governments are the ones who maintain the interstates. There's not like a federal road crew that goes around and does that.
Yeah, it's
they probably send funding.
It's allocated.
Yeah, so like we got plenty of roads here in New Hampshire. I think we can handle
who are already maintaining them. It's just a matter of changing the budget, maybe increasing state taxes in order to.
I don't think you would even
offset.
Need to.
I mean,
you know, think about all the extra money that's coming. Like, people would donate.
I mean, you're probably right.
You know?
You're probably right, but
if that's what it came down to, you could sponsor the roads. Right? Like companies could sponsor the roads. It doesn't have to be taxes to
do this. I mean, these
libertarians have written about private roads for decades.
This is the thing. Like, I don't think we're going to be able to do everything overnight, right? Like, I am of the opinion.
But we can secede overnight.
We absolutely can. And that's one thing, right? So we don't necessarily have to privatize all the roads overnight. This is something that we can take a little bit of time on and figure out what the best solution is. It doesn't have to be done the moment that, you know, New Hampshire gains independence. We could just basically increase the taxes, state taxes, continue doing what the federal government did.
We can't
because
increase
you're still
state taxes.
If you increase state taxes, though, you're still paying less in taxes because you're not paying the federal taxes anymore. So
I think what we ought to do is just slash the state budget, like get rid of the state police, get rid of as many different stupid government like the liquor commission.
I agree with you.
You know, you could slash.
I just don't think we're going to do it all in one bill.
I brought up that New Mexico is number one in pedestrian fatalities per capita again. I think it might be like 12 or 13 years in a row. So we usually kill about 97 or 93 between there. So for 1.8 million people, that averages out like 3 people for every 10,000 or something. So per capita, we're number one.
Why do you think New Mexico pedestrians are so bad at getting hit by cars?
Well, you know, one thing is that it's a very uneducated, poorly educated population here, as we know.
They don't know that cars will kill you if they hit you.
Well, the thing about it is that they really don't care if they get hit by a car because they
grew drunk?
Up that
oh,
way.
They're suicidal.
Well, no, it's just that they accept it as a part of life, like getting killed by a drunk driver. They just grow up that way. It's like accepting
that's a
an
weird
earthquake.
Thing to say. Isn't
that is
it?
Such a weird answer.
Most people are sort of interested in life preservation,
yeah.
at least of themselves.
Yeah.
And so, you know, their parents teach them.
Isn't that a horrible endorsement of your public school system?
So let's talk about the elderly drivers in South Korea. Apparently, there's some new program, Chris, that you wanted to talk about here tonight that may actually disqualify the bulk of elderly drivers from being able to drive.
That's what it sounds like.
Now, if that's the intention or not, that's going to be the question here. What's going on?
It sounds like the most crazy story. And if you ever wanted a means of disqualifying all elderly drivers without actually having a law in the books that kind of just outright does it.
Because that would be discrimination.
Right. This is the way to do it. South Korea will use VR to determine if the elderly can keep driving. And this is from, I think this is the TNW News.
Okay.
Let's see here. The Korean National Police Agency is pushing for the implementation of conditional licenses for elderly drivers by 2025. That in and of itself is, well, boring. But the real story is about how they'll determine who gets to keep their license. The answer, virtual reality. As of Monday, a 3-year research project has been introduced, which will employ VR tech to assess whether drivers age 65 years and older can remain behind the wheel. The research project apparently has already been introduced, it sounds like. There's a budget for it. The program's total budget is expected to reach approximately $3 million. So, yeah. Let's see. Contrary to other countries around the world, South Korea has no strict regulations regarding the driving licenses of seniors unless they test positive for dementia. Currently, yeah, I mean, okay, so wouldn't the better answer be to, like, just have them take, like, a normal road test as opposed to...
Yeah, why go with the VR? I mean, I think you're onto something here because the elderly are just not good with video games. Okay?
Yeah.
And there's more than one reason for this. The number one reason, I think, is because they just weren't, you know, for the most part, they didn't grow up with them. You know, video games have only been around for the last 40 years, roughly.
I mean, yeah, the people who are becoming elderly, like retirement age around 65, they're probably like the first generation of people who even had access to video games.
Some of them did. So, yeah, that's true. They would have been in their 40s or whatever when games came out. But
my dad, he cannot play Pac-Man with, if you try to get an app on a computer and use the arrow keys, my dad gets so mad because he can't play
that.
Pac-Man. And if you give him a joystick, he's like the best Pac-Man player I've ever seen. So
oh, really?
It depends on the type of thing.
Well,
you know, like
elderly.
He's not going to be good at doing a VR though. He's just going to be like, man, this crap is frustrating.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.